Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is the another pilot for the North-South Wrestling Connection show. I'm Carl Chenier, and joining me, of course, is...
Robert Q. Saddleman, you little bastards.
Yes, it's the you little bastards himself. We tried this about 2 weeks ago, Rob?
Yeah, it was about that time.
I figured we'd give it a go again.
Let's hope it's more successful this time around, while a plane flies over my head.
And me and Rob are presenters of the show, but this guy is, I guess, contributor. Let's bring him in now. We welcome Tyler Brown.
How's it going? Rock on, folks.
Doing quite well, thank you.
Doing fine, sir. Okay, Rob, so what's on tap for tonight, sir?
All right, first off tonight, we have a pay-per-view coming out this Sunday. It's WWE's One Night Stand. It's supposed to be a night of extreme rules and gimmick matches. If the WWE was so sensitive in this, why did they just call it WWE Uncensored?
I don't know. Well, I don't see why not. I mean, they already got the American match.
Well, everything is a gimmick match.
So.
Yeah, especially this match between, isn't it, we talked about this last night, Tyler, Candice Michelle versus Melina in a, was it a pudding match?
Yes, it's a pudding match of all things.
Well,
Vince
yeah,
Russo wouldn't even dream up that type of match.
No,
not today, no.
The reason that was probably came up was so that Vince could just get a boner.
No, not Vince. He's got Bobby Lashley do that for him in the ring.
Oh, okay.
Well. Forget, he's also got a muscle fetish.
Oh, okay.
What?
By the way, the boner is probably for John Laurinaitis.
Who gives a crap?
Okay, now onto the matches that mean stuff. Rob Van Dam versus Randy Orton. In a stretcher match?
There was a rumor going around, and they were going to call off one of the matches here.
All right, let's do it then.
I think they're either going to call it off or change one of them. I think it was that one right there, the stretcher match.
Yeah, this is probably scheduled to be Rob Van Dam's last match.
WWE, yeah.
Yeah, if he doesn't renew. However, rumors are flying that if he might renew, but with a lighter schedule, you know, sort of like an Undertaker-esque schedule.
Okay, moving up, we have a six-man tables match, CM Punk and Tommy Dreamer and the Sandman against the New Breed.
New Breed consisting of Elijah Burke, Monty Brown, the Alpha Male, or as they call him, Marquis Corvin, or Marcus Corvin.
Marquee.
And everybody's yeah.
And everybody's favorite teacher.
And favorite contributor of Argyle's Fashion Everywhere, Matt Stryker.
Yeah. Moving on, we got a ladder match for the Draws World Tag Team titles. We got the Hardys against Shelton Benjamin as well as the world's greatest tag team.
In a ladder match, no less. So we're up to...
In a ladder match, yes.
We're up to four gimmick matches.
And, of course, we got your top three titles now. We got your steel cage match for the whole heavyweight title, Edge against Batista. Then the false count anyone match for the WWE title, John Cena against the Great Khali.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the main event, the street fight for the ECW World title, McMahon against Lashley. The promoting down is the main event, folks.
This does not sound like a good pay-per-view whatsoever.
Nah, they could have just kept it as ECW for this year.
Yeah, but then again, that's been renewed, and let's face it, it sucks.
That sucks. Speaking of things that suck, I heard the buy rates for the Backlash were pretty bad.
Oh, do tell.
I have it online. You talk about pay-per-view buy rates.
And it turns out that they need around 130,000, 140,000 buy rates just to break even.
When are these people going to realize everyone's all talking about friggin' on-demand service nowadays?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, this was the first pay-per-view where all three brands were back officially full-time. Which, to be honest, I think it's still stupid to have a damn brand extension even 5 years later.
That's what everybody's thinking. The talent is all spread out.
Yeah. That's the way it seems.
Here's what they need to do. Consolidate Raw, SmackDown, ECW's rosters, and just have them on Raw and SmackDown, and do what Dusty is planning, use ECW as the final step in development, on-air development.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about OVW, that would be like the second to last step, which would be on TV just in the Ohio Valley market, i.e. Tylertown.
And we don't mean Tyler Brown.
Yeah, I do mean Tyler Brown.
Oh.
Or you could just combine all three brands and call it... Hold on.
What?
Extreme Down. You could just combine all three brands and call it Extreme Rawdown.
Or SmackDown Raw to the Extreme.
That still sucks.
Right.
If y'all want to get in on the action here, the number is the same as the other two shows that's on this network. That would be 718-664-6189. If you have any questions or you want to talk about wrestling, past or present, or you want to ask us three anything, go for it. And I believe we're going to take a little break right quick, folks. We'll be right back after this. Okay, welcome back to the North-South Wrestling Connection. I have, of course, Tyler Brown joining me and Rob tonight here. Tyler, I have a quickie question for you.
Mm-hmm.
The state of wrestling, as we know it now, in 2007, compared to, let's say, 2000, the end of 2000, good, bad, or about the same? What's your opinion?
It's gone downhill. I mean, it's almost to a point where I have no interest in buying any of the pay-per-views. I mean, I really couldn't anyways, but now even if I had the money, I wouldn't buy the pay-per-views, whether it be on DVD or, you know, when it's time for them to air them. And, you know, in all reality, it's because, you know, Vince has got his head up so far up his own ass, he doesn't realize what the fans want. He's too worried about what Vince wants. And, you know, it just become crap. I'll sit there and go, man, I'm going to have to endure another week of this on Raw because simply, A, I work too much to watch SmackDown or ECW, you know, or I forget about them. So, I mean, the only thing I really can watch every now and again is Raw. And you want to do catch it, I go, wow, that's what I wasted 2 hours of my night. I could have spent that better.
K-Rob, what do you think?
Way, way, way worse.
Because there's, let's face it, in 2000 there were three big-named companies. You know, WWF, WCW, even though it was on the downward spiral, and ECW, which would go out of business in a few weeks with their last pay-per-view, Living Dangerously. No, wait, not Living Dangerously, Guilty as Charged. Now you have just WWE as your main one. There's a niche one right now in TNA. And all the, I hate to say it, but the best organization out right now is Ring of Honor. And they'll be having their first pay-per-view on July 1st, and I suggest to everybody who's hearing me right now, buy it. And two, their DVDs kick ass.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to catch Ring of Honor.
Well, that's because they haven't done any stops. I don't think they've done any stops in the Louisiana area. It's just mainly been the upper eastern United States. They go to Ohio, they go to Michigan, they go to Chicago, they go to all these places, you know, above the Mason-Dixon line and east of North and South Dakota. Once they expand a little more, I think a whole lot of people would start caring for it. But right now, it's just mainly all Vince McMahon and his gigantic bald ego.
Mm-hmm. Going back to what you mentioned, Guilty as Charged 2001 pay-per-view. Let's see, the final match of that whole pay-per-view was Rob Van Dam versus Jerry Lynn, with no titles on the line. Let's see, what else?
There was that great match between Tommy Dreamer and C.W. Anderson.
We also had Rhino becoming the last ECW champion at that time, anyway. The original ECW World Heavyweight Champion.
Mm-hmm.
I quit that? Yeah. I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry of it right now. That's a shame, though.
Yeah, because...
But you know, it's weird. It's kind of funny to me that that was their last pay-per-view.
What do you say?
Originally, I thought it was Living Dangerously.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of ECW pay-per-views, right now on WWE 24/7, if y'all catch it, that pay-per-view that is up right now, which would be Anarchy Rules 99.
Yes, I haven't got a chance to see that, but I'll probably watch it over this weekend.
I got to record it.
Yeah.
But here's a rundown on what was on that pay-per-view. Let's see. Storm against Lynn, Nova and Chris Chetty against Diamond and Tony DeVille, Tajiri in a three-way dance with Super Crazy and Guido, Sabu against Justin Credible, Mike Awesome, Masato Tanaka and Taz, and one of Taz's last matches.
Actually, that was Taz's last match.
In ECW?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
After that, he went to WWF.
That's right. But it's funny because this pay-per-view was in September of that year, but he didn't make his debut until January of 2000.
In a really good debut match with Kurt Angle at Royal Rumble 2000.
Actually, no, Rob. His last pay-per-view match for ECW was actually in November to Remember.
Oh, and wasn't that a three-way dance?
No, he faced Van Dam and lost.
Oh.
And it was a TV title match.
And Rob Van Dam once again came out on top.
But here's my state, now that y'all commented on my question here. As I see someone's on the line, I haven't noticed you. I'm sorry. Hold on. I think I know who this is. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Chris.
What's going on, gentlemen?
Not much. Welcome to NSWC.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, adding on to the topic here, we were talking about the state of wrestling since 2000 and through now. What's your take on it?
I say that it's had its highs and its lows, but since I'm trying to think about when it really started to, as someone from Rob's favorite website once said, suck the meat missile.
One of my heroes, Blade Braxton, said that.
Yep. Oh, jeez.
Well, I'm awaiting another remote control tape from him.
Personally, I think when Austin walked out, that was when the things really started to go downhill. I mean, at least it was still watchable up to that point.
For wrestling as a whole?
Yeah.
Oh.
Don't forget, by this point, by early 2000, I mean, basically, ECW was on its last legs. WCW had been dead men walking for about the last year. Basically, WWE was the only thing that really mattered at that point.
Yeah, and Austin had walked down in 2002. That was when WCW, ECW were pretty much done already.
Yeah, they'd been dead.
At that point, there was no other company. TNA didn't even get started until after Austin left the WWE for a while.
When did Austin leave WWE? Around 2002, June, July?
That was about May.
TNA started in June 2002, and Ring of Honor started not long after.
Yeah, but Ring of Honor, in 5 years, Ring of Honor doesn't even have a pay-per-view schedule yet.
Wrong. July 1st, they will have their very first pay-per-view.
I said in the last 5 years. Oh. They haven't had a monthly schedule.
The thing is with Ring of Honor is that I think that unless they get a nationwide TV contract, they're basically just going to be a curiosity that everybody seems to like. I mean, I've never seen a Ring of Honor show. I've heard nothing but good things about it. From what I've read about the cards that take place, they put together a pretty good show. But the problem is that how long can you hope to stay afloat without getting a national TV contract? I mean, TNA eventually had to get one, because how long can you run weekly pay-per-views before your company keeps losing money, and then you have to shut down?
Well, here's the thing. Ring of Honor did have a TV deal, like, in the early days, like 2002 to 2003 or 4, when Rob Feinstein, the child molester, was a pedophile?
I thought he was...
Child porn man? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, by the way, have you guys watched TNA Impact tonight?
Not lately.
No.
Some of it.
Watch next week. A new Sanjay Dutt will be debuting.
Oh. And when that happens, what's on next? Click. I'd rather play Xbox.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with Sanjay Dutt. Besides,
with the state that him and Jay Lethal and Kevin Nash are currently in right now, I'd rather watch late era WCW matches.
Well, I would too, but then again, I like Vince Russo.
Yeah, and that's why you're a fucking idiot.
You just like him because he's been reformed.
Yeah.
No, I've always liked him.
My left testicle.
Well, here's the thing. I've always liked Vince Russo, even during his early days of WWE when he helped create Mantar. I was entertained. I still have always been entertained, even in WCW 2000, even after I know, Carl, your least favorite pay-per-view of all time, New Blood Rising. I was still entertained then. I'm still entertained to this day. That's why I keep watching TNA. That's why I'll probably keep watching WWE. And when I buy a Ring of Honor DVD one of these days, I will probably be entertained then.
And that's exactly why TNA hasn't been entertaining to me in over a year and a half.
You blame Russo for that?
Of course. Who the hell else am I going to blame for that?
How about the guy who's really behind all the crap in TNA? It's not Russo.
And it's not Jeff Jarrett either, because he hasn't been as active in the company as he has been in the past.
Right. The main person to blame is Dutch Mantel.
Look, all I gotta say is that all I gotta say is that when it comes down to it, it's the guys in creative who really set the tone for the show. And if the tone sucks, you gotta blame them. And in my opinion, Vince Russo is the one that's to blame here.
Guys, hold that thought for 1 second. We gotta take a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the NSWC pilot number 2.
Where did you get that break music from?
I'll tell you after the show. We're talking about Ring of Honor and TNA, and Rob and Chris were in the middle of a discussion. Guys, please continue.
Okay. All right.
Dutch Mantel is mainly to blame. He booked that god-awful electrified steel cage match. He was also involved with the blindfold match and also the various other craptacular matches that have gone on, like with Sting Abyss in the Last Rites match and various other craptacular gimmick matches there were. Vince Russo is only involved in one storyline, just one.
You see, I don't buy that. I really honestly don't. I really don't. Basically, this is my theory. Ever since he left WWE, having Vince Russo work for your company is a kiss of death, and TNA should have realized that long ago.
I disagree completely because he's still working that one story. He's only working one storyline.
I don't believe that. I really honestly don't believe that. I don't.
Or you've just... Ever since Russo started to get some more freedom, like what he had in WCW, or really, like 2003-2004 TNA, when he went to that company. The first year he had nothing to do with, and there was a lot of crap in that first year.
There was.
However, the odd problem is it wasn't Vince Russo's idea. He didn't start to come in until 2003, because in 2002, guess where he was working?
Where?
WWE.
Well, that might be, like I said. And what's happened to WWE since 2002? Nothing good.
So, here's the thing. The two people have to coexist. If Vince Russo would go to WWE and work there again, I think WWE could actually get really good.
And I think the company would be dead within 18 months of his hire.
Yeah, a point there. Before we go on, I got a quick
blog. He does not know what he's doing. Simple as that. It's been proven in the past, and it will continue to be proven.
Well, then how can you prove his first 4 or 5 years writing for wrestling when he was working in the WWE? He would still have that same creative... he wouldn't have as much creative freedom. He would have that safety net with Vince.
Yeah,
McMahon,
but
see,
hold on. All right. Vince Russo has changed a lot since then. He's not going to go back to what he was in his first 4 or 5 years in WWE. He's changed too much since then to go back.
He's become his own minister for crying out loud.
He's also appeared on TBN.
Yeah, a bunch of other wrestlers. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think on Sting's show.
I don't catch TBN down here, buddy.
Yeah, on TBN, Sting has his own show, which he does, I think, once every two or so weeks.
Yeah, and he has had Shawn Michaels on there, and I think Nikita Koloff, how do you say his name?
Yeah.
The Vince Russo you saw back in the late 90s, early 2000s, ain't the same Vince Russo you see today, folks.
True.
I still believe he's creative as hell, though.
And I say his time has passed.
Yeah,
looks
but who
like
the hell are we going to hire now?
So, how long have we been discussing Vince Russo? For about 10 minutes?
Yeah, I think it's time to move on to something else.
Time here.
How much
Remember time? What I said before the show, Rob? I'm tired and I want to get this done ASAP.
Yeah, all right, let's just move on to the next topic. Let's do it fast.
All right, next, we already covered a one-night stand. We talked about Vince Russo and TNA and ROH and all that junk. What else can we talk about? Oh, here we go. Let's talk about 10 years ago this week.
10 years ago this week.
Can you hear me now?
Good.
Huh?
Back when all three companies were really at their peak, were starting to get at their peak.
Let's see, around this time,
I always thought ECW's peak started sooner than the other two.
Unfortunately, around this time, Beulah McGillicuddy could have got her neck broken in ECW, but at least. Ric Flair and Piper were in a little war after Slamboree. That culminated, I think, in the Great American Bash.
Ric Flair versus who?
Piper.
Yeah.
And WWE, well, since I wasn't really much of a follower at that time, I know Taker was champion.
Yes, he was.
And there was a... Who did he face for the title at pay-per-view that month?
In Your House?
In Your House. Was it Mankind?
Yeah, Revenge of Taker.
Revenge of Taker. That's pretty much what was going on. It was, the ratings were really roaring at that time.
Personally, I think that when WWE started to pick up steam a bit was 2 months later.
Wasn't that the start of DX? Or at least the start of Triple H and Shawn Michaels in China joining forces.
I'm talking about SummerSlam. I think it was... I think that happened when DX formed. I think that happened in September.
All right, guys, we've got to wrap it up here. We're almost out of time. This show will go on.
We want an hour.
Huh?
I said, we want an hour. I'm kidding.
I'm too tired to give you an hour.
Okay. I'm just going to watch it. Come on.
Don't worry, the actual show's going to be an hour. Don't worry. I'm just going to click tonight so I can get it done and go to bed. I don't know when the actual first show is going to be next week. It's probably going to be either Thursday or Friday, depending on my work schedule. Around this time, 10, 11, 12, whatever. I do thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. Me and Rob on our second pilot. I think this went pretty good this time, don't you think?
Oh, most definitely. I think some of my people would absolutely love this show.
Bring them on. Well, it's too bad they can't actually all call in at the same time. Damn you, Blog Talk Radio.
So actually, I think they'd probably, I know a couple of people I know who are also big Vince Russo fans that call in probably want to kick your ass, especially one Mr. Blade Braxton.
All right, we're going off live air in 30 seconds. Any quick plugs?
Yes, Webmaster's Corner, Pretty Delicious, Pretty Pretty Skills, WrestleCraft.com, Jeffree Star, Cold Medication, whatever, Carl Schneer, Tyler Brown, Chris Palmer, Robert Seidelman, bye.
Damn, Rob, catch a breath. Thank Tyler and Chris for joining us tonight. We'll be back next week.
Tyler here?
Yeah, Tyler was here. We'll be back next week with NSWC. Catch the new Seattle Files tomorrow night, 6 o'clock Central Time, and CC Live probably Monday night. Good night. you're listening to the archive of this show, thank you. Don't forget CL Files tomorrow evening, 6 o'clock Central Time. I'm too tired to mention the other time zones. You figure out yourself. CC Live will be probably Monday, depending on my work schedule. I don't know what time yet. We'll see. Thank you for listening. Good night, everybody.